Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Late Night Sprites. I know it's been a little while since the last episode, and I can explain. Basically, I kind of had a week where I wasn't really feeling much of anything, and so I decided to just work on the next big episode instead of forcing one out for the sake of having one out. Like, I had this episode that I am doing today in mind for a little while now, and I was getting everything I needed for this episode. So this one is going to be a little longer. Today, I am talking about theater and theater influences in gaming and what that means and all of that. To celebrate Princess Peach Showtime, at the time of this recording, the game has been out for a couple days. I've had a lot of hands-on time with it, so you will also be getting my first impressions of Showtime. Keyword first impressions. I'm not doing that Mario versus Donkey Kong thing again, because I never really got that far in the original, so who knew that there was a whole other post-game and all that wonderful nonsense at the end of that. But that being said, that is probably going to be towards the end of the episode, so if you want to skip ahead a little bit, feel free to do that. If you are new here, thank you so much for joining. I am Homecoming Hero, and I love talking about video games, and I have some fun indie game-based content that I am currently working on for this show that is going to be showing up a lot next month. So I have a blog. If you want to hit that up, I will have the link in the podcast description. I'm going to have a review of Wonka up. So I actually took time off of blogging and podcasting because in my mind, I was like, you know what? Why not just take a little moment, take a breather, and then release some fun content for Easter? So I guess this is kind of like, I don't want to say an Easter special, but like, I do associate musicals with spring, and not just because The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music, or there's literally a musical called Spring Awakening, but spring musicals. Back when I was in high school, there was always a spring show. A lot of schools do spring shows. I associate spring with kind of the middle of like touring Broadway show season. Usually a show comes into town around this time of year for people to see, whether it's a musical or a play or the ballet or something like that. So I associate musical with spring. I also, before the channel was called Freeform, I remember growing up with ABC Family, and ABC Family played a lot of musicals around this time of year. It would be like, oh, we're gonna play family movies, a lot of Disney movies, because it's springtime, and so you're getting together with your family for Easter. You know, you're going to have a lot of little kids running around doing Easter egg hunts and stuff like that, you know, after church or after Easter dinner, whatever someone's Easter preferences may be. Everyone's valid here as long as you're not a booty. So with that being said, also, another musical that I associate with this time of year is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the classic, the one with Gene Wilder. I mean, A, there's chocolate in it, and B, it just feels like spring. The atmosphere feels a lot like spring. It's like the outside of the world is dull and drab, and then when Charlie and his grandpa and everyone gets to go to the factory, then you get to see like this really bright and colorful world. You get the song Pure Imagination, which is still so timeless. So yeah, that is one of the reasons why I associate spring with musicals. And now a new musical has debuted in the form of Princess Peach Showtime. The evil grape and her sour bunch have taken over the Sparkle Theater, and it's your job to go through several productions in order to, like, save the day and don many different costumes and save the actors and save these productions and save the theater overall. And that is Princess Peach Showtime. But that is going to be our grand finale for this episode. So let's dive in to theater and theater references in gaming. Let's begin. Let the curtain rise, let the overture finish, and let's start the show. So when I think about theater and gaming, I think specifically stage play aesthetics, curtains, spotlights, and I mean, many video games have music, so I don't want to be like, oh, musical like elements, but there are musical numbers. If the whole plot or what's going on stops to be conveyed in song, and or a big song and dance number occurs that is like part of moving the plot forward, but like everything stops to do this, I count that as a musical. So we're going to be talking about some games that have massive theater influences, and we're going to be talking about some musical theater and theater as a whole references in gaming itself. And some of my favorite games and some of the games I even played for this episode. So I'm not going to be counting rhythm games because rhythm games center completely around music. So no Harmonite, no Straight Roads. Even though No Straight Roads could almost count as a musical game because there is like in-betweens and side missions and non-rhythm game content that connects the main story. I don't count Hi-Fi Rush as a musical. Hi-Fi Rush is just a super awesome hack and slash game that is just so incredible and also totally just a great time. Absolutely worth it. If you have a PS5 and you have not played Hi-Fi Rush yet, definitely look into that. I did an episode on it already. I played it on Xbox, on Game Pass. But those are kind of my prerequisites for it. So no rhythm games, no Hatsune Miku games, no Guitar Hero, DJ Hero, Band Hero. So many Guitar Hero DS, just so many Hero games. And also, no more heroes, because I'm pretty sure there are no musical numbers in that one. But feel free to correct me if there are. I've never played a No More Heroes game. So, with that being said, some of my favorite games that have theater influences in them, a lot of them, like, people see Princess Peach Showtime and they're like, oh my gosh, look at this, a Mario game with theater in it where you play as Peach. But Mario and theater have kind of gone hand in hand for a while. There's, first of all, Super Mario Bros. 2 has the curtains every time you have a character select screen, which would then move on into Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, to be inspired by that, where it's almost like a small little curtain call. And that being said, there are some games like even the Donkey Kong Country series, like the originals, that do curtain calls at the end of their game where you get to see every single character. You get to see who was in the game, whether they were hero or villain. And they kind of just do this like curtain call, like round of applause kind of thing, which is kind of neat. Then Mario upped the theater again because Super Mario 2 USA only had that for the character select screen. Super Mario Bros. 3 is inspired by stage plays. Not only do curtains open and it looks like a stage for the title screen, but there are like set pieces. The platforms are like bolted onto the background. Every time you finish a stage, it's all black as if you're going backstage and going behind the scenes, kind of. All of the like the bushes, the trees, all of them look like set pieces. And that is really unique. So Mario 3 is one of the big, like, games that has a huge theatrical influence. Another set of Mario games that have this would be Paper Mario and Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Every time you fight in Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, there is an audience. Paper Mario just has the curtains, and it looks like you're on a stage every time you get in a fight, whether it's a boss battle or a main fight, but there's no audience per se. But Thousand Year Door, once again, for it started as a small influence, and then in the next Paper Mario game went bigger. It has an audience that can heckle you, and by heckle you I mean throw frying pans at you and do damage. You can go in the audience and tell them to cut that out. there is, spoiler, in case you haven't played Thousand Year Door and you're looking forward to the remake, spoiler alert, there's the fact that Hooktail straight up eats the audience members. Yeah, that definitely happened. Oh man, as a kid, that really, as a kid, that was one of the moments in gaming that my jaw hit the floor because I was not expecting that. But the audience is heavily involved. It may start as a storybook, but every fight is a staged production, which just works perfectly. And they even have songs like Rock Hawk's battle theme that implement crowd cheering while you are fighting your boss. Well, specifically that one, who is a star wrestler. And I love that. I love the theater influences in Thousand Year Door. But once again, Mario doesn't even stop there in terms of the theater references. Still going back to the Nintendo 64, Mario Party 2. Mario Party 2 is a literal stage play. There is a reason why every time you go to a different board, the characters dress up in costumes, which has never been done again. There is the fact that if you let it go, that game has a story. The story of that game is that while Bowser is wreaking havoc, first of all, there's a new plot of land and everybody wants to name it after themselves for whatever reason. And so everyone's squabbling. But then Bowser's like, yo, I'm going to go wreak havoc. How's it going? And so whoever defeats Bowser at the end of all of these lands and reclaims Party Land can name it after themselves. Because, of course, you know, that's how you debate things. Like, oh, there's this plot of land. Let me whip out my dice and play Monopoly really quick and hope for the best. I hope, let's hope Wario doesn't win, though, because if this is going based off of Mario Party 1, that means Wario would want to turn his into a battlefield with cannons and blowing everything up. So imagine starting a war zone just because you lost a game of Monopoly. But the game opens with the spotlights that follow the characters around while they're on stage. It starts with the curtains open. You hear the audience clapping and cheering and reacting. And the music swells and plays. The opening music to Mario Party 2, before you get to the title screen, is one of my absolute favorites. And why 2, not just because it was my first one, is my favorite Mario Party game. Like, one of. It's up there with 6. As, like, some of my favorites. 2, 4, and 6. Ironically, I have an odd and even rule for Mario Party. But it follows Toad. The music changes and swells almost like an orchestra is preparing for a big performance that has spotlights on all the major characters. And I love it. And then, of course, the theater influences continue because you get a nice little ending during the credits. You get a curtain call. Even Bowser like waves at the audience and it's super cute and funny. And it cuts back to the theater aesthetic. Like, you play Mario Party and the theater aesthetic goes away, and then it comes back at the very end when you beat the main story of the game, which I absolutely love for the credit sequence. And I just think that's like super great. And every character getting different themed costumes, whether you're in Horror Land, Pirate Land. Ironically, the worst one is Mystery Land. Like, that one just, that board bites. That board is not fun. And then there's Cowboy Land, which was one of my favorites when I was younger. Pirate Land is still a map I'm super impartial to. And if they ever add DLC to Mario Party Superstars, please put in Pirate Land. I know you have Yoshi's Tropical Island, and they're similar in the fact that they both have bridges, but instead of starting a toll, you have to hope that your RNG doesn't get you blasted away by a cannon. But now, my friends told me that I have to mention this, so I'm going to mention this very briefly, and then I'm going to move on from it. But in terms of theater references in gaming, as you can see, first off, to wrap things up, Mario has had so many. Even before Princess Peach Showtime, Mario is the big main inspiration for this. And I almost made the episode just about Mario, but there's a few more other things that I'd like to mention. First of all, is the great Mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day. Yeah, he sings an opera, and it stops the whole game, and you get a song for the sake of there being a song. There are my friends who are listening to this happy now. I mentioned it. They told me I had to because it was technically theatrical and there's a back and forth. So there, I did it. Final Fantasy VII Remake, not Rebirth. I have not played Rebirth. I do not know if there are any theatrical bits in Rebirth, but in Rebirth, in order to get into some part, some like club, I've never really played Remake. I've only watched people play Remake, but in Remake, you have to do this like big dance number. I consider that theater influence in gaming. It's very big, very fun. The song is super fun. You get to do like a little rhythm game. Here's another rhythm game in a Square Enix game, speaking of which is Finny Fun in Kingdom Hearts 2. I count this as a musical section because it breaks off from the normal section to make you sing songs. You dance and you sing, swim and play and... Sorry. Me and Finny Fun have not the best track record, not the best history, I should say. But, yes, I consider that also a theatrical reference because you literally go to Little Mermaid World and... Much like how Winnie the Pooh World is nothing but minigames, this one in the second game is nothing but musical, which compared to the first game is an actual world where you turn into a merman and swim around and you get turtle goofy. But in the second one, you have to keep coming back and doing these rhythm game sections that I definitely would say is theatrical. I also wanted to bring it up because of something in Princess Peach Showtime. So those are some theatrical references from games, like whether it was Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Conker, lots of Mario, so much Mario. Like, I would say that Kirby's Epic Yarn also has a theatrical element because every single time you play it, every single time a cutscene comes up, you get the curtains. Like, the curtains open and close. Like, they open at the very beginning of the game and they close after the credits. So, and you have them as the borders for every cutscene, and there's like a little stage underneath, so I would count Kirby's Epic Yarn as having that theatrical reference, and that is where a lot of games stop and start. Like, they just need the theatrical element of here's the stage, here's the curtains, this is a grand production. And then there are some that go above and beyond, like Mario 3, where there's set pieces, there's a backstage, there's the curtains, there's the lights, there's all of that. Or Mario Party 2, for example. I would say that in terms of theater-inspired games, in terms of Mario before Princess Peach Showtime, the biggest ones were Mario Party 2 and Mario 3. Thousand Year Door would probably be the third most with the stage combat. Then the original Paper Mario with its curtains. You gotta love the curtains when you fight enemies, and also because the world is made out of paper, you could argue that that's a set because the world turns into like a little diorama stage play, kind of like those like diorama theatrical performances where people use puppets, like those little boxes where people put on puppet shows. And then Mario 2, obviously, because Mario 2 is just the curtains. So those are a lot of the musical references. Oh my goodness, I almost forgot one. Mario versus Rabbids. Or not Mario versus... Mario fought the Rabbids. Mario is sick of the Rabbids and he fought. That's the next game. The third one's going to no longer be Mario and Rabbids. It's going to be Mario versus Rabbids. It's going to be where Mario and Rayman fight to take back his franchise. And that's why Rayman showed up in the Sparks of Hope DLC. But, so I can't bring up the Sparks of Hope DLC with Rayman because that's technically a movie set. Same thing with SpongeBob SquarePants The Cosmic Shake. That's also a movie set. That's not a musical. That being said, I can bring up the first Mario and Rabbids game because as you fight the Phantom, also known as Tom Fan, he literally stops. He gets the spotlights, he gets the stage, and he, much like the Great Mighty Pooh, just does an opera number. And in between phases of his fight, he gets these really fun, like, interlude songs about how he's going to make you pay and you have no chance against him. So, yes, you do get to fight the Phantom in an opera. Very, very funny, very tongue-in-cheek. So I will say that Mario and Rabbids, once again, is another Mario game that has theatrical elements. I think a full-on Mario theater music rhythm game would be incredible. Like, have Bowser take over a theater. He took over Peach's castle. Like, he's taken the castle many times to the point where he even became a castle recently in Mario Wonder. I want a full-on, like, moment like that. Speaking of Mario Wonder, there are musical references in Mario Wonder. There are playable levels where, well, the characters will start singing. And King Boo has an opera stage. Opera is theater. You have to go to a theater to see an opera, which has a story, which is sung all the way through. Theater is not just musicals and plays. Theater is opera. Theater is ballet. Theater is dance. That's what a lot of people might not realize, but theater is just like the art of expression in live performance form. Concerts even stem from theater. You have to go to a venue. They're on stage. There's a break in the middle. There's an opener. There's an intermission. There's an ending. Sometimes you get an encore. So, yes, technically Super Mario Wonder is yet another Mario game with a few musical, theatrical elements in it. But now it's time to talk about one of the games that I played. Before we visit Princess Peach's theater, before it's showtime for her, we have to step into a different theater, one that I have unfortunately dreaded revisiting. Wait a minute, Homecoming, you love musical theater. You love theater and musicals. What could be a theater that you don't like? Well, we're going to have to travel to the PlayStation 4 on this one. Travel to a game that was released 3 years ago by Square Enix to a theater run by one Balin. That's right, Balin Wonderworld, the game where you can play as either a boy or a girl. A game where its entire story was released separately as a book that you had to buy, and the rest of the game is told in cutscenes. A game where you do step into a theater, and it has theatrical elements, and it has costumes and dressing rooms, and when you select a level, you get put under a spotlight and get to go through the curtains. And at the end of every boss fight, you get to do some stupid dance number with the NPC you helped out. Oh, man. Oh, man. This was not my favorite game. I played the demo when this came out, and this made me not play the game. But I picked it up for super cheap out of sheer curiosity, and because the copy was brand new, there was a ticket to the Balin Theater inside. I was invited to the Balin Theater. Ironically, around the time of this release of this post, Balin Wonderworld came out 3 years ago around this time. And funnily enough, 3 years later, Nintendo is releasing a theatrical game where you help out denizens in a magical theater around this time, where you change into costumes. But the only difference is, well, I'll get to that. You know what? Spoiler alert, the only difference is that this one's bad. Balin Wonderworld is bad, and Princess Peach Showtime so far is pretty dang good, but we'll get to that game in a moment. Let's find something nice to say about Balin Wonderworld. The cutscenes are very pretty, the animations are really good, the theater aesthetic is very strong, and the music is fantastic. Some of the level themes are really great, and the Balin's Bout music is one of my favorite tracks. The music in this game is really good, and that's where all the good parts stop. You can only jump, unless you get a costume, in which case you can then no longer jump. You can no longer jump with some of these costumes. Almost every button is jump, and then you get your costume, and then you can switch between your costumes, and only some of them let you jump. So not only do you have just the ability to jump, but sometimes your only ability is taken away from you. The platforming is really bad. The collecting elements are really bad. The boss fights are really bad. What hasn't been said about Balan Wonderworld that isn't really bad? Okay. It can't be that. Nope. I picked this game back up to give it another try for this episode specifically. It's theater and gaming. It's musical influences. Musical theater influences. There had to be something in here. Nope. This was not good. And not even in a fun meme way. Like, not even in a fun way where you get to, like, play through a bad game and then meme on it the whole time. Like, playing through Sneak King or some Wii shovelware that lasts only, like, an hour. No, this game is downright bad. There are no redeeming qualities in it outside of the aesthetic and the presentation. If this game was a show, I might like it. But then again, if it was a show, it might have an actual story and not be contained to a book that I have to pay money for. I hate the fact that the story of this game is locked behind a book. I hate the fact that apparently the co-op, from what I've seen from reviews, makes this game even worse. Apparently, like, the co-op makes this game nigh unplayable. I hate the fact that such a beautiful presentation really made this game bad. I hate the fact that this game had a troubled development and was rushed, and that, yes, someone who was not a good person worked on it, but a lot of good people did, and they are no longer working under that person. I hate the fact that Square Enix really fumbled the ball with this one. And in terms of release date, they had just fumbled the ball with Marvel's Square Enix Avengers, whatever. Square Enix is Marvel's Avengers, which, I mean, I bought that game too. I got that, unlike this one where I waited for a sale, I got that one at release. And that is a whole other episode, and that is a whole other can of worms to talk about their wonderful live service fiasco for another episode. But for Balan Wonderworld, as I revisited, I got about 3 to 4 worlds in, and then I just stopped. I just couldn't anymore. I was enjoying it for all of like 2 seconds when I wasn't holding the controller. But yeah, the theater influences are there, as mentioned earlier, the dressing rooms, the curtains, the dance numbers, the fact that it takes place within a theater, the fact that the physical version comes with a ticket to Balan's Theater. But just look up the opening, because the opening is super well animated, and look up the music. That is all I can recommend. And even though this game was, like, just so bad in so many ways, I hope that the team that made this game can go on to make a great game and just blow everyone away. They have potential in there. I think they should even make a game that takes place in a theater and prove that it can be done right. Here's hoping. But now that I mentioned Balan Wonderworld, because I really couldn't go through an episode like this without mentioning it, what about Princess Peach Showtime? At the time of this episode, it has been out for a couple days. I have played it for about 7 hours. I played through several of the costumes, and I really enjoy this game. I'm actually going to refer to an episode that I did about a month or two ago, which is Kirby's Epic Yarn, because that's what Princess Peach Showtime reminds me of. It reminds me of Kirby's Epic Yarn. It reminds me of Kirby's Epic Yarn that the game is about not some big challenge or solving puzzles, but an experience. And here's the experience I've had so far. So before I dive into this segment, I do want to say spoilers. Princess Peach Showtime isn't even a week old. And I don't usually do first impressions, not after the Mario vs. Donkey Kong fiasco, or even the time that I reviewed Pac-Man World Repack twice. That was quite the experience. But I wanted to give my first impressions. I played the game for about 6 or 7 hours, and I really have a feel for it. So, you play as Peach and her new friend Stella, changing into costumes, saving the denizens, saving the Sparklers, who are superstars in the theater scene, and helping regain the Sparkle Theater that has been taken over by Grape and the Sour Bunch, replacing really fun productions with productions where a lot of the cast gets robbed. Cookie production? They steal the cookies. Production in a museum? They steal the artifacts. Production in, like, a city with a bank with jewels? They steal the jewels. Production in the Wild West? They steal the loot. A lot of these productions end with the cast getting robbed, which, huh, stealing productions in theater and passing them off as your own. Totally not relevant to anything that's going on in the major scene with, the ability to use technology to replicate voices and stuff. So yes, you have to don costumes and help save the day. There are collectibles that you need to grab in every stage. There are these like gems, and you need a certain amount of them after you beat enough productions on a floor of a theater to open the boss door and engage in a boss fight. Before you change into costume, you can jump and use your ribbon attack. You can also dance when you help people out. You can use your ribbon to uncover secrets and cheer people up and encourage people and bring the joys of theater to people. And you can also dance, but see that bell in Wonderworld? This game uses two buttons. Take that. And it's that two-button gameplay, along with the ability to move and an ability to always jump, even when you're in costume, that made me realize that Princess Peach Showtime reminds me a lot of why I love games like Kirby's Epic Yarn. The game is not about this big Dark Souls-like experience where you must conquer a great evil, but rather the experience in and of itself. Kirby's Epic Yarn was a game where you couldn't die, and I found myself smiling from ear to ear while I played it. And I love this game. The theater aesthetic is strong, from shifting set pieces to the point where they turn if they're massive ones and they flip around. The curtains, the lights, the bosses, the costumes, the music, the presentation, the transformation cutscenes, the ability to change your outfit when you're in normal play. That's right. Peach is wearing a disco ball outfit right now because I unlocked that. And it reminded me of why I love a good, relaxing adventure every once in a while. This was one of those games that I'm already really enjoying, and I can see myself enjoying for quite a while. A game that I find myself just thrilled to be playing. A game that I can just relax with. And yes, there are collectibles that I can miss. Reminds me a lot of Kirby's Epic Yarn. There are heart points that if you get hit, you have to start sections over again, or you lose a life and you have to start that scene over again. Kind of cool in terms of the theater things, where if you lose your hearts, you have to start a scene over again and make the production go well. Peach has all of these new voice clips, and they all work perfectly well. All of the different costumes are fun and great to try. And I know people saw the demo and they're like, oh, this game is just like a little fun, simple adventure. And yes, it is simple, but the demo didn't even show off all the stuff that you do with the costumes. Not only are there full-on boss fights where you have to be creative and solve puzzles around them while dodging attacks while out of costume, but also you have these segments, like you have like gliding sections, ride sections, auto-scrolling sections, stealth sections, and none of them are on par with like a big grand adventure. But it reminded me of the transformations in Kirby's Epic Yarn, which makes sense because this game was made by Goodfeel. Princess Peach Showtime is on par with Woolly World in Epic Yarn and Mario Land Shake It. It reminds me of why a cozy adventure is a good time. The presentation and the commitment to the theatrical aesthetic is fantastic. Now, there's a few frame rate chugs and a few performance problems, no game-breaking glitches or crashes, but definitely some noticeable chugging. But the presentation and the graphics look phenomenal. The game just sticks to that, whether you're on set through changing scenes or if you unlock something big and this whole stage rotates around to fit that moment. As if you're in a giant production, like them moving the barricade around in Les Miserables or other shows with giant set pieces, the spotlights, which also act as bonus areas. If you strike a pose in specific spotlight sections, you'll unlock little hidden rooms with goodies. The collectibles sometimes are easy to miss. I've missed a few in my journey, but there are so many of them to grab that so far advancing through the game has been pretty comfortable. And it makes me really happy. The music is really great, and every single costume has its own theme. The fact that also as you advance in the game, if you get an area that has a costume that you're already transformed in, you don't have to find the costume and transform into it again. So for example, on the first floor and the third floor, I played as the baker. Well, or I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Patissier Peach, but as Chef Peach. Well, I played as Chef Peach. Then on the third floor, they repeated Chef Peach, and I went in the door. But instead of playing as regular Peach and finding the costume again, it was like Act 2 of Patissier Peach. It was like Patissier Peach's story had changed, and suddenly there was a Halloween theme and the environments changed. Same thing happened with the sword fighter. On the first floor, I played as regular Peach, got the costume and transformed and went about my day. The second stage was a castle filled with ghost knights, and I thought that was really cool. Grape is able to make the Sour Bunch and also make different actors for her productions, and the aesthetics just work. As you continue doing multiple acts as you go up, instead of finding something and transforming and constantly having to play as base Peach, they continue where you left off. And that is just a really nice detail. Instead of, oh, gotta go through another costume change, oh, gotta help cheer someone up so they open a door so I can change into costume. You pick up where you left off, as if every single play you are in is its own little separate game, a little mini game, a little micro game with its own controls. Yes, most of this is two-button gameplay, but so was Kirby's Epic Yarn. Kirby's Epic Yarn was running around, using your parasol, using your whip, and jumping. And then you would get transformations that change up the game. Well, you can run, you can jump, you can use your ribbon when you're normal Peach, and then, well, you transform. I think this is like Kirby's Epic Yarn, and if people are harsh on it now, they might be a little graceful to it in the future. They might realize that this is a fun, relaxing game to play with a loved one, or to sit and hang out with, or unwind with after a long day. Replaying Kirby's Epic Yarn later in life, or, well, definitely I was a kid when it first came out, really made me appreciate it. It made me appreciate, because if Goodfeel is anything, if Goodfeel is good at anything, I should say, it's making a game that commits to its theme. The theatrical theme, whether one of the bosses was made out of literal stage lights, using an attack that caught Peach in rewound time, a snake made out of stage lights, the set pieces, the spotlights, the music, the fact that every single stage opens up through the loading screen, which just takes a little bit, but opens up with a violin tuning as if the lights are going down and the spotlights are turning on, just like an overture. This is definitely a game for theater fans, and I absolutely love the presentation in this game. The gameplay, simple yet fun. And because you're constantly changing to different costumes with different abilities, it's really easy to change things up. It's like the fact that Kirby's Epic Yarn had those transformations that change things up. Penguin Surfboard, Dolphin, Tank, fire truck. Okay, the fire truck one might be my least favorite, but those changed up the gameplay. And even though the gameplay is the same in these costumes, whether you are playing as Peach and now your one button gives you the ability to use a lasso or use a sword and dodge, it still just works. It works off of the fundamental things because the transformations in Epic Yarn also used your same control scheme and button with the rare one of making you point the Wii remote at the screen. But this is a console that needs to be able to play games in handheld and on the TV. So yes, everything is boiled down a little bit more to be a little bit more concise. So if you like Mario games, if you want a fun time, if you want a game that has a very good aesthetic, very good presentation, and a theme that it is willing to stick to from start to finish, I recommend picking this one up. If not, well, you got tons of other games to play on Nintendo Switch, whether they are first party, third party, or indie games. So no complaints here, but those are my first impressions of Princess Peach Showtime. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Late Night Sprites. What are some of your favorite games that have musical theater influence or theater as a whole? As a big fan of theater, I love video games that replicate that. I love musicals. I've seen Hamilton, Six, Waitress, Aladdin, Les Miserables, Come From Away. I've seen quite a few musicals, but my top three, I'd have to say, are Legally Blonde, Newsies, and Hamilton. I can listen to those songs and those shows any day. And I've seen all three of them on tour live. But with that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. And I will be back in April. If you celebrate Easter, I hope you have a super happy and safe Easter. Good time with your families. If it's just another day for you, I hope it's a good day. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. This one was a lot of fun to put together. Definitely a big passion project, so I'm going to be sharing this one a lot. And if you want, the link is in the description for my blog about musical movies from stage to screen. It used to be a blog more so about musical theater, but now it's about musical movies with touches of musical theater. But thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I'm Homecoming Hero, and I will see you next time with some really fun content in April. You'll see when we get there, but that wait isn't too long. So I'll see you on the next episode of Late Night Sprites. Take care. So before I dive into this segment, I do want to say spoilers. Princess Peach Showtime isn't even a week old. And I don't usually do first impressions, not after the Mario vs. Donkey Kong fiasco, or even the time that I reviewed Pac-Man World Repack twice. That was quite the experience. But I wanted to give my first impressions. I played the game for about 6 or 7 hours, and I really have a feel for it. So, you play as Peach and her new friend Stella, changing into costumes, saving the Denizens, saving the Sparklas, who are superstars in the theater scene, and helping regain the Sparkle Theater that has been taken over by Grape and the Sour Bunch, replacing really fun productions with productions where a lot of the cast gets robbed. Cookie production? They steal the cookies. Production in a museum? They steal the artifacts. Production in a city with a bank with jewels? They steal the jewels. Production in the Wild West? They steal the loot. A lot of these productions end with the cast getting robbed, which, stealing productions in theater and passing them off as your own. Totally not relevant to anything that's going on in the major scene with the ability to use technology to replicate voices and stuff. So, yes, you have to don costumes and help save the day. There are collectibles that you need to grab in every stage. There are these, like, gems, and you need a certain amount of them after you beat enough productions on a floor of a theater to open the boss door and engage in a boss fight. Before you change into costume, you can jump and use your ribbon attack. You can also dance when you help people out. You can use your ribbon to uncover secrets and cheer people up and encourage people and bring the joys of theater to people. And you can also dance, but See that bell in Wonderworld? This game uses two buttons. Take that. And it's that two-button gameplay, along with the ability to move and an ability to always jump, even when you're in costume, that made me realize that Princess Peach Showtime reminds me a lot of why I love games like Kirby's Epic Yarn. The game is not about this big Dark Souls-like experience where you must conquer a great evil, but rather the experience in and of itself. Kirby's Epic Yarn was a game where you couldn't die, and I found myself smiling from ear to ear while I played it. And I love this game. The theater aesthetic is strong, from shifting set pieces to the point where they turn if they're massive ones and they flip around. The curtains, the lights, the bosses, the costumes, the music, the presentation, the transformation cutscenes, the ability to change your outfit when you're in normal play. That's right. Peach is wearing a disco ball outfit right now because I unlocked that. And it reminded me of why I love a good, relaxing adventure every once in a while. This was one of those games that I'm already really enjoying, and I can see myself enjoying for quite a while. A game that I find myself just thrilled to be playing. A game that I can just relax with. And yes, there are collectibles that I can miss. Reminds me a lot of Kirby's Epic Yarn. There are heart points that if you get hit, you have to start sections over again, or you lose a life and you have to start that scene over again. Kind of cool in terms of the theater things, where if you lose your hearts, you have to start a scene over again and make the production go well. Peach has all of these new voice clips, and they all work perfectly well. All of the different costumes are fun and great to try. And I know people saw the demo and they're like, oh, this game is just like a little fun, simple adventure. And yes, it is simple, but the demo didn't even show off all the stuff that you do with the costumes. Not only are there full-on boss fights where you have to be creative and solve puzzles around them while dodging attacks while out of costume, but also you have these segments, like you have like gliding sections, ride sections, auto-scrolling sections, stealth sections, and none of them are on par with like a big grand adventure. But it reminded me of the transformations in Kirby's Epic Yarn, which makes sense because this game was made by Goodfeel. Princess Peach Showtime is on par with Woolly World in Epic Yarn and Wario Land Shake It. It reminds me of why a cozy adventure is a good time. The presentation and the commitment to the theatrical aesthetic is fantastic. Now, there's a few frame rate chugs and a few performance problems, no game-breaking glitches or crashes, but definitely some noticeable chugging. But the presentation and the graphics look phenomenal. The game just sticks to that, whether you're on set through changing scenes or if you unlock something big and this whole stage rotates around to fit that moment. As if you're in a giant production, like them moving the barricade around in Les Miserables or other shows with giant set pieces, the spotlights, which also act as bonus areas. If you strike a pose in specific spotlight sections, you'll unlock little hidden rooms with goodies. The collectibles sometimes are easy to miss. I've missed a few in my journey, but there are so many of them to grab that so far advancing through the game has been pretty comfortable. And it makes me really happy. The music is really great, and every single costume has its own theme. The fact that also as you advance in the game, if you get an area that has a costume that you're already transformed in, you don't have to find the costume and transform into it again. So for example, on the first floor and the third floor, I played as the baker. Well, or I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Patissier Peach, but as Chef Peach. Well, I played as Chef Peach. Then on the third floor, they repeated Chef Peach, and I went in the door. But instead of playing as regular Peach and finding the costume again, it was like Act 2 of Patissier Peach. it was like Particia Peach's story had changed, and suddenly there was a Halloween theme and the environments changed. Same thing happened with the sword fighter. On the first floor, I played as regular Peach, got the costume and transformed, and went about my day. The second stage was a castle filled with ghost knights, and I thought that was really cool. Grape is able to make the Sour Bunch and also make different actors for her productions, and the aesthetics just work. As you continue doing multiple acts as you go up, instead of finding something and transforming and constantly having to play as base Peach, they continue where you left off. And that is just a really nice detail. Instead of, oh, gotta go through another costume change. Oh, gotta help cheer someone up so they open a door so I can change into costume. You pick up where you left off, as if every single play you are in is its own little separate game, a little mini game, a little micro game with its own controls. Yes, most of this is two button gameplay, but so was Kirby's Epic Yarn. Kirby's Epic Yarn was running around, using your parasol, using your whip, and jumping. And then you would get transformations that change up the game. Well, you can run, you can jump, you can use your ribbon when you're normal Peach, and then, well, you transform. I think this is like Kirby's Epic Yarn, and if people are harsh on it now, they might be a little graceful to it in the future. They might realize that this is a fun, relaxing game to play with a loved one, or to sit and hang out with, or unwind with after a long day. Replaying Kirby's Epic Yarn later in life, or, well, definitely I was a kid when it first came out, really made me appreciate it. It made me appreciate, because if Goodfield is anything, if Goodfield is good at anything, I should say, it's making a game that commits to its theme. The theatrical theme, whether one of the bosses was made out of literal stage lights, using an attack that caught Peach and rewound time, a snake made out of stage lights, the set pieces, the spotlights, the music, the fact that every single stage opens up through the loading screen, which just takes a little bit, but opens up with a violin tuning as if the lights are going down and the spotlights are turning on, just like an overture. This is definitely a game for theater fans, and I absolutely love the presentation in this game. The gameplay, simple yet fun. And because you're constantly changing to different costumes with different abilities, it's really easy to change things up. It's like the fact that Kirby's Epic Yarn had those transformations that change things up. Penguin Surfboard, Dolphin, Tank, Fire Truck. Okay, the Fire Truck one might be my least favorite. But those changed up the gameplay. And even though the gameplay is the same in these costumes, whether you are playing as Peach and now your one button gives you the ability to use a lasso or use a sword and dodge, it still just works. It works off of the fundamental things, because the transformations in Epic Yarn also used your same control scheme and button, with the rare one of making you point the Wii remote at the screen. But this is a console that needs to be able to play games in handheld and on the TV. So yes, everything is boiled down a little bit more to be a little bit more concise. So if you like Mario games, if you want a fun time, if you want a game that has a very good aesthetic, very good presentation, and a theme that it is willing to stick to from start to finish, I recommend picking this one up. If not, well, you got tons of other games to play on Nintendo Switch, whether they are first party, third party, or indie games. So no complaints here, but those are my first impressions of Princess Peach Showtime. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Late Night Sprites. What are some of your favorite games that have musical theater influence or theater as a whole? As a big fan of theater, I love video games that replicate that. I love musicals. I've seen Hamilton, Six, Waitress, Aladdin, Les Miserables, Come From Away. I've seen quite a few musicals, but my top three, I'd have to say, are Legally Blonde, Newsies, and Hamilton. I can listen to those songs and those shows any day. and I've seen all three of them on tour live. But with that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Take care of yourself, take care of your mental health, and I will be back in April. If you celebrate Easter, I hope you have a super happy and safe Easter. Good time with your families. If it's just another day for you, I hope it's a good day. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. This one was a lot of fun to put together. Definitely a big passion project, so I'm going to be sharing this one a lot. And if you want, the link is in the description for my blog about musical movies from stage to screen. It used to be a blog more so about musical theater, but now it's about musical movies with touches of musical theater. But thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I'm Homecoming Hero, and I will see you next time with some really fun content in April. You'll see when we get there, but that wait isn't too long. So I'll see you on the next episode of Late Night Sprites. Take care.